Father God, we are so grateful for your son, Jesus Christ. And as we just took the bread and took the juice to remember him on the cross, God, we put him before us, we put the cross before us, and we proclaim this morning that yes, God, we do remember Jesus Christ. We remember him, and we know that you and your son, Jesus, you are such you're an incredible God, but you're the God who was willing to have a reckless love for us, that was willing to turn around and serve us. And guys, we pray this morning as we go into this message, I pray that we can remember what kind of God you are, that you are the God that serves, and you give us a community for where we can serve each other. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, good morning, church. How you guys doing? Doing good? It's been an incredible service already. I'm so grateful for all the families that we have in the church. And thank you guys so much for sharing. That was so powerful. Really do appreciate it. We're continuing in our series on serve one another in love. And this is the third part of the series. And this is, I really want to encourage you, if you miss lessons in the series, please go listen to them because they build off each other. So this is really just the third point of one message over the last 3 weeks. It's kind of like you just don't jump into the third episode of your favorite TV show. You got to watch the first two first. And so it's kind of like that. But we're continuing off of this. And the title for today's lesson is Wakanda Forever. It's not. All right. I tried to make it work. It's not. The staff went and watched it this week because we're a family, we're friends, we don't just work together. I loved it. I don't know what you thought about it, but hey, it's a good movie. The real title for today is Where Can I Serve and Find Joy? All right. I know it's not as cool as Wakanda Forever, but actually it is, and I'm going to show you why. All right. This is a cool title, I promise. All right. Where can I serve and find joy? And we really are building off of what Nick and Chase talked about these last 2 weeks. So 2 weeks ago, Nick started out for us talking about how we serve a God who serves. And even as Jesus talks about himself in Mark 1, and he references himself, he says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to what? We serve a great God. And what kind of almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all just being God doesn't just expect to be served, but what kind of God turns around and serves his subjects? What an incredible God he is. And Nick led us in such a powerful way that we serve a God who serves. And then Chase last week, he continued this and said, well, God serves us, but then he creates in us a culture of community, and that we're not supposed to go through this life alone, but we can go through it together. Amen. And we're continuing on that today in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you got your Bible, slip over into 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to be diving through this passage together, starting in verse 12. So here we go. 1 Corinthians 12:12 reads, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles or Persians or African Americans or white, or, you know, appreciate you guys, baptized into one Spirit, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So this is an awesome passage right here. And if you're new to Christianity, you know, the scriptures talk a lot when describing the Jesus movement. They describe the Jesus followers as the body of Christ. And it's so powerful the way that it does this. And what a gift it is, isn't it, guys? The community of Christ, the way that I see it in my mind is Jesus is the greatest gift we ever received. His word is the second greatest gift. And the community of Christ is the third greatest gift we have ever received. This church, this family. It's so amazing. And Chase led us last week through the scriptures and showed us how sometimes 2,000-year-old Greek is best interpreted with Southern language. You guys remember, right? And that, you know, the word you in the Bible is actually plural. So passages where it says your body is a temple really should be read as y'all's body is a holy temple for the Spirit, right? That it's y'all. Y'all remember this. Well, I'm glad, you know, we could bless the world of our Southernness. You know what I'm saying? But I love what Chase talked about, that as followers of Jesus, we've refused to go through life alone. We refuse to do that. There's no such thing as solo Christianity. That it's a team sport. It's not a solo sports. But back in 1 Corinthians 12, if you want to be part of this incredible family, this incredible body, well, how do you become a part of it? Well, in 1 Corinthians 12, he told us, right, that for we were all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body. We're baptized into this family. This picture, yes, that is me. You know, I still look good enough. But, you know, that's me and it's my little brother. This is one of my favorite moments of all time, having the privilege of baptizing my brother. And if you remember, the baptism didn't used to be up here. Do you remember where it was? It was over in the corner. You know, a lot of sins went into that water. I don't think it was ever changed, but, you know, but it washed my sins away too. We used to have, you can see in the background, that little pink throw-up-y carpet. You remember that color? You know what I'm saying? But it's okay. We all, a lot of us started here. But you're baptized into the body. And I just want to take a moment, and if you haven't been baptized before, or if you got baptized as a child, maybe you didn't really know what's going on, and you're thinking, man, I want to go all in with Christ. I really want to surrender my life over to Jesus, become a part of his family, to go all in and figure out what this thing's all about and join his family. I want to encourage you to gain a new life in a new year. A new life in a new year. You got about 6 weeks until the beginning of 2023. Take that 6 weeks to change your life forever. Take that 6 weeks to figure out what does it really mean to walk with Jesus and surrender my entire life and get baptized with him. And if you would want to go after that challenge over the next 6 weeks to find a new life in the new year, I want to encourage you to come talk to me after service. I'm going to be down here with one of our elders. And what we love doing as a church, we love having personal Bible studies with people that are seeking and trying to go all in with God. And we love walking through life with you to help you figure out what does it really mean to go all in. And if you want to go on that journey and find a new life in a new year and get baptized into the body of Christ, come talk to us after service. We'd love to help you out on that journey. Amen? So we're going to continue, though, with this in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 15. Let's go. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, well, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. You know, Paul talks about this analogy of the body of Christ like all the time. Have you noticed? I think it's his favorite analogy. I mean, he talks about it in Corinthians right here. He talks about it in Romans. He talks about it in Ephesians. He talks about it in Colossians. He comes back to it again and again and again. He loves this analogy. And I think it's worth it. If Paul came back to it again and again, there must be just gold in it waiting for us to help us in this journey with Christ. So let's talk it through a little bit. He's talking about the hand. He's talking about the eye. He's talking about the ear. Like, what's he really getting at? Well, first, it's that we belong to each other just as much as my hand belongs to my arm. Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. No, what is he saying? He says, we belong together. Do you realize that? We belong together in the body of Christ. What a beautiful, Spirit-filled truth. And this has so much to do with serving. Now, this series, just for clarification, we've been talking about the God who serves, and that, of course, means serving in all ways, right? So there's so many scriptures about serving the poor and the needy and the marginalized, but we've been focusing in this series on the scriptures about serving one another in the body. Not to minimize those things, but just to talk about it in fairness each part. Amen? Are you all with me on that? So we're talking about serving the body here. And in verse 18, I just love this verse. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. This has so much richness to it. So just as my ear was given a gift of hearing, and nothing else in my body can hear except my ear, and it's placed in a certain way so that it is best at hearing to serve my body. As much as we understand that, he says the same is true for you in the body of Christ, that God places us where he wants us to be to use our gifts to serve. So you're not where you're at by accident. You're not where you're at by chance. It wasn't a man that got you here, including yourself. It wasn't just us that brought us here. God places the parts in the body, and he's given all of us specific gifts that he wants us to use. Do you realize that passage we just read? It's not that he commands us to use, that God desires. God wants. He's given you this because he wants you to use it to bless the body. And this all makes sense if we take a step back and think about the big picture that we've been talking about the last 3 weeks. You guys following? So the last 3 weeks, we talked about a couple different things. One, we talked about last week how we're made in the image of God. And I love how Chase talked about, you know, God says, let us make man in our image. It's a collective man and woman, right? That we're made in the image of God. 2 weeks ago, we talked about, well, God is a God who serves. So if we're made in the image of God and that God serves, then what were we made for? Well, we were made to serve. We were made to serve. There's something inherent in who we are as human beings that just desires to serve. There's something, when we serve, we fill a need in us that was given to us by our Creator. When we go and love someone and give to someone, we're fulfilling a part of the purpose for which we were created for. We were made to serve. And this has huge implications for where our joy comes from. Because when you're carrying out what you were designed for, joy just starts reaping in upon you. Amen, guys? So last week, Chase referenced this other passage that talks about the body. And I want to talk about this as we continue to march forward on if we were designed to serve and we were placed in the body by God, not by man, and given gifts to serve, to carry out our identity as image bearers to serve. Well, what does that really mean? The way Paul talks about it in Ephesians 4 is this. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. As each part does what? Well, each part does its work. This is beautiful. Where God places all the members together, where they do their work. A body whose ear doesn't hear is called unhealthy. It's sick. There's something wrong with the body. And we've realized this a lot recently in our family. If you don't have kids, there's this phenomenon with young children that your kids and your whole household every fall and winter are going to be sick for like 2 or 3 months straight. You guys know what I'm talking about. And so Cam and Caleb, my 1-year-old and 4-year-old, they've been sick for like 2 months, just passing it back and forth. You would think that if they had it once, their immune system, no, it doesn't work like that. It goes back and forth. And so their nose doesn't work and they can't sneeze or breathe or their ears get infections and it's hard to hear, it hurts them. They're unhealthy. They made a pact together, my 1-year-old and 4-year-old. They made a pact that every night, one of them would be up screaming and crying in the middle of the night. Like, and they got it down like science. It's never both of them. You know, it's like one of them wakes up. Oh, the other one's not awake. I'll wake up. Okay. And they, you know, it's been really healthy for Toy and I's sleep schedule. You know, it's been amazing. But they've been sick. It's unhealthy. We realize that in a body, if an ear isn't serving the body like it should by hearing, something's wrong. The same thing's true for us. When we as members in the body, when we're not serving all together, when each part isn't doing its work, that means there's some unhealth in the family. That means there's some sickness or something wrong with the family. It's not healthy. And in the same way, a healthy church is where all the members serve. And where they're not all the members serve, there is unhealth. And so with this passage in mind, all of us need to take a step back and ask ourselves the question, well, am I doing my part? Am I doing my part in the body? God has given you something so special. God has given you something that no one else in the body has, just as much as the ear is given something that the nose doesn't have. And God's given that to you so you can bring that gift to serve the church. Are you doing your parts? Are you first using your gift for yourself? Are you first using your gift for your success to build up your kingdom? Or are you first using your gift to serve God in his body? Are you first using your gift to serve God's kingdom over your kingdom? I want to call all of us to build the conviction to use your gifts first for God. To use your gifts first for the body of Christ. To not just say, to build up my wealth and my treasures on earth and my house and my career and my family. And don't just use your gifts first for you. That's not why God gave it to you first. He gave it to you first to serve him and to serve his family, his body. And through that, that will 100% bless your life. But build a conviction on this, that if we're made in the identity, the image of God, that's our identity, then we together are the body of Christ and we can serve one another. Are you guys following what I'm saying? And with this concept, what I want to encourage you guys is to become masters at asking a very simple question. If you're going to live out your identity as image bearers of a God who serves and learn how to serve, I want you to become a master at asking this question: where can I serve? It's really simple. It's very practical, but it's life transforming. Where can I serve? Can you imagine a church if we all asked that question? We're in each other's personal lives, in our family groups, as a church as a whole. If we become masters at just looking for how to bring God into the situation to serve, what kind of church, what kind of family would we be? And I just for a second, I want us just to have a family talk about this. Is that cool with you guys? Let's have a little bit of a family talk. If this is your first time here, hey, welcome to the family. We love you. We're so grateful you're here. We're about to get specific about a couple little things, but hey, welcome. You know what I'm saying? Let's have a little family talk. You know, it's been hard for us since COVID to reestablish our serving volunteer base on Sundays. It's been hard for us to reestablish that. You know, during COVID, I think most of us, myself included, were so focused on getting back out of COVID to a sense of normalcy that I know for myself, at least, I fought so hard to get out of COVID to a sense of normalcy. I haven't taken the time much to ask myself the question, hey, what habits did I form when I was in lockdown? Like, what habits started becoming a piece of who I am? And some of those habits are really good. Like, I personally know that, man, it was good for me to learn a habit of meditation and rest before the Lord. But some other habits are bad. And I want to ask you, if you formed this bad habit, have we formed a habit of not serving? Have you formed a habit of not serving your life? You know, there's so many ways to serve our church throughout the week. I mean, and we have an army of some of the best servant leaders, our family group leaders. I mean, aren't our family group leaders amazing, guys? It's so incredible. You serve sacrificially. You serve with love and with care and with truth. It's amazing. But just for a second, I want us to have a family talk about what happens on Sundays. All right, we serve through the week, but if we're talking about what happens here, you know, on Sunday mornings, as we gather for worship service, it takes about 100 servant volunteers for us to have church. Between the kids' kingdom and between the ushers and all the worship AV, between all that, it's about 100 people. You know, over the pandemic, when there was nobody in here, and then we were trying to preach to an empty auditorium and that awkwardness, we boiled it down to about 10. There's about 10 people that it took to run service. There's a couple people on AV and, you know, speakers and stuff like that. And so that meant every week there was 90 people that were used to serving that started to form a habit of not serving. You guys following? And so we just need to talk about this and have an honest, just family talk. Because the truth is we haven't gotten back up to filling all the areas we need for serving and volunteering on Sundays. Now, I'm not saying all this to get back to pre-pandemic times. That's not what I'm saying, all right? I'm trying to call us to live out serving because we were made in the image of a God that serves. I'm not just saying, hey, shake the rust off, get back to doing what you know is right. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we belong to a community of Christ. and a family serves each other. I don't know about you if you've had to learn that a family serves each other. I don't know about all the other dads and husbands, but my wife has helped burn the selfishness out of me. You guys know what I'm talking about. And it's still happening. I think I've grown, but a lot of times she would do it lovingly, she would do it humbly, but she would really help me out. And so a lot of times something like this would happen where Toya would go off, you know, to do something, and then I'd be in the house and I might do the dishes, I might clean the living room, you know, kind of something like that. And I would start kind of, oh man, I feel pretty good about myself. I served, right? Like, man, I'm like the man of the year. You know, give me the husband of the year award, you know? When Toya comes home, she needs to see that clean living room. And so when Toya would come home, I wouldn't want to get my cred, you know what I'm saying? And hey, babe, you know, while you were gone, I cleaned the living room. And I kind of did the awkward smile, you know? Okay, husbands, you know what I'm talking about, all right? And then Toya would respond with a, oh, babe, well, thanks for being part of the family. And she might not say it exactly like that, right? But like that was what she was getting at. We'd have these conversations where she was like, babe, thank you, but that's what family does. Like you're trying to get this over credit for something that families, we're supposed to serve each other. If you live in this house, we need to help each other out. And she's helped me burn it. Guys, I'm not the only one, am I? All right, it started making me feel bad there for a second, you know? But man, a family serves together. So let's talk about some of our family needs every Sunday. What are the living room and the dishes that we need to help serve each other in? You know, we have this whole list of things, of areas that you can serve in. Where can I serve is the question to ask. And, you know, on December 4th, we're having this big servant fair where the service in our usual kind of time, part of it will be in here for our worship and our communion. Then part of it, we're going to go outside and we're all going to have a chance to sign up for where we can serve on Sundays for this big servant fair. But I just wanted to briefly mention some of these. These are our different areas that you can serve in kind of like as a public whole kind congregational level, right? We got the children's ministry and middle school ministry. So grateful for all those teachers. We have the worship or audio video. I don't need to volunteer for that. That's not my gift sets. But if it's your, someone laughed a lot at that. Come on, guy. Yeah, I can't sing. Anyway, so and we got security. The ushers were so grateful for the way they help us. I don't know if you've realized the more since I've started a welcome team. And we have, come on, man, that's encouraging. And our goal is for everyone that walks in that door to be met with love. That everyone walking that door to be met with a smile, with a hug. So grateful you're here, especially for our new friends that are here for their first time. We want to greet you. We want to love you. And so we have a new welcome team to do that. We have parking. Guys, we have an overflow parking lot that I hope we are utilizing more and more and more. We got a parking team. I don't know on the medical side if you knew that we strive to have a nurse or a doctor on call every service. So that if a child or someone has an emergency issue, they can help address and figure out what are the next best steps. You could join that team. We have a hospitality team. Every time we have, snacks or cookies or coffee or pizza after church or watermelon, anything like that, we have a hospitality team that helps put that together and run it. We have all these different teams. And my question to you guys isn't if you're going to surf, because we're going to be a church where every part does its work. It's what team are you going to be on? What team are you going to be on? This is going to be so encouraging and so exciting to join a team, to join camaraderie, to be able to serve together in the family. Now, on December 4th, what we're going to do is we have this big goal, all right? We got this big goal I want to remind you of. On December 4th, we are going to nail down every servant role for the entire year in 2023. So in December of 2022, we're going to know who's teaching in December 2023. What do we think about that? Okay, haters going to say it's fake, but I believe in us, all right? We can do this. And it's the same thing on our kids' soccer teams. Hey, who's going to bring the snacks 4 months from now? A family serves, right? We can all be in this together. So can we do this together, guys, where every part does its work? The only way this works is if every part does its work. And I want to touch on a couple more things before we close out. One is that each part doing its work is the solution to burnout. That's the solution to burnout. You know, we just got done with our deconstruction series. And so if we're talking about serving, if we deconstruct this for a second, I think some of us in our Christian experience have felt that the main goal of Christianity is just to want you to do more. So it's just give more, serve more, love more, share your faith more, lead more. It's just more. You guys know what I'm talking about. So this morning, I want to be explicitly clear. That is not the goal. That is not what we're saying. We're not just saying just serve more. That and never ceasing culture of more without boundaries leads to burnouts, leads to exhaustion and to bitterness. So that's not what we're saying. So what are we saying? What we are saying is to become like a God who serves. It's not just serve more, no, become. What we are saying is to become and to belong to a family and to help take care of that family. So we're not saying just serve more. What we're saying is to become and to belong. Amen? And this is the solution to burnout. Who here's heard of the 80-20 principle? Right, where 20% of the people do 80% of the work, right? Where that means each part does not do its work. There's only 20% doing most of the work. And what happens then? Well, 20% burns out, while 80% doesn't even notice. That's what happens. So how are we going to guard against that? We're going to say each part's going to do its work. We're all going to become like God. We're all going to belong to this family. And our goal is not 20% to do 80% of the work. We're going to have 100% do 100% of the work. Amen, church? That is the goal. And how are we going to set that up? Even in the fair, we're thinking through how to do this to set ourselves up for success. So what we're saying is on the fair, we're signing up for quarters for kind of each area. We're asking that you only sign up for a max of 2 quarters a year. So that way the 20% that's always serving, that's always teaching and never in here, that's always ushering and never in here, that they get a chance to be in here. Because each part is doing its work to take care of. And so we're trying to protect one another even as we serve. We know we serve, it's not, hey, only serve, period, for half of the year. Because we know you serve always in your homes, in your communities, in your families. We're just saying on Sunday mornings, only pick 2 quarters out of the year so that we can all not burn out and we each part can do its work. You understand what I'm putting down? We really want to do this together. As we close out, though, I want to switch. We've talked about this idea of where can I serve, but it doesn't stop there. The message for today is where can I serve and find joy? And find joy. Because there's a truth about serving that is so deeply connected to joy, is that there is authentic and life-changing joy that comes from serving. Have you realized this? It's authentic. It's not shallow. It's not fake. It's genuine. It's deep. It's real. It's a real joy. It's not short-lived. It's not behavior modification. It's not a short-time change. It's life-changing joy that comes from serving. Check out these two passages. In Proverbs 11, it reads, "A generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be what? Will himself be refreshed." When you refresh others, there's a truth in Scripture that God says, then you will find refreshment also. It's part of that joy. Check out when Paul's quoting Jesus. He says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus himself. He said, it is more blessed to what? To give than to receive. So we have to say, you know what, I'm going to trust Jesus. I'm not going to buy into the culture of this world that says it's always best to get. It's always best to consume. It's always best to receive. No, I'm going to trust Jesus that if I give, if I serve, if I love, then that's where I'll find blessings. That's where I'll find a blessed joy. And what I want to do actually is I want to call you to remember Alyssa Pilcher's sharing a couple weeks back. Do you guys remember that? It was so powerful. And honestly, we knew Alyssa had been serving for several years and she's so sacrificial, but we didn't know like what it had done for her. We didn't know why she did it. We didn't know like the whole life transformation. And when she shared all that, we were like, this is so spirit. Like this is a spirit move right here to help us as we start this series really connect with what serving's all about and how there is true, authentic, and life-changing joy that comes from serving. So what I actually want to do is I want to play a clip from Alyssa sharing 2 weeks ago. Here we go.
I've been working on it for almost 3 years now. So the problems that it helped me to solve were more of those anxiety problems, like why don't I like church? Why don't I want to be here? And I think I am different from my dad in the sense that I do feel like I'm a naturally giving person or serving person. I feel most like myself when I could help somebody else. And I didn't realize that I could have a role like that in the church where I could impact a group of people without getting so much attention for it. So the anxiety part was taken care of, the serving others part was taken care of, and over time it helped me to learn how to love God and how God loves me and how he can use me in ways that I had never imagined and in ways that I didn't know I'd ever want. And it helped me to make the decision to become baptized, and it helped me to become closer to my dad who serves and to my mom who serves in the children's ministry. I think our relationship has grown so much, and it brings me more peace than anything I've ever known.
Amen. And Andy did a good job sharing, but he was outshined by his daughter, you know, so. But I just want to, for a second, go, I actually scripted out what she said, because I don't know if you caught what Alyssa said. Like, it was so profound. It was so amazing. I don't know if you caught it, and I want to work through it together, okay? Because this is the best illustration I could think of when it comes to the joy that comes from serving. Okay, so Alyssa said, serving helped me realize how I can love God, how God loves me, and how he can use me in ways I could never have imagined. Serving does that. Why does serving do that? Well, because you have in your identity, you were created to bear the image of a God who serves. So there's a piece of you. There's a piece of you that will never reach your full potential. There's a piece of you that will never be its very best. There's a piece of you that will never reach your full contentment, your full wholeness, unless you bear that image to serve and to witness God's love and to love him back and to understand how you can make a difference. Don't we all want to make a difference in this world? Isn't there something inside all of us that want to have an impact? That's from God. She said that serving helped me make the decision to be baptized. That's awesome. That's incredible. And I don't know if you feel like, you know, well, before I serve the church, I really got to figure out my walk with God. Before I serve the church, I got to get back, kind of back to 100%, and I got to be the role model example to serve everybody. No. That actually serving can help you in your walk with God. As you walk with Jesus in serving, and you serve with him, and he serves through you, and you're walking with him, taking care of people, you start to learn why Jesus is the greatest person of all time. And it actually can help you, make the decision to get closer to God or get baptized. I love, Alyssa, what you shared. It helped me become closer to my dad and mom, who both serve also. One, what an incredible family of a family that serves. But have you realized when you serve with people, you get closer to them? We have a big church, but we want to continually become smaller as we become bigger. Smaller in our family groups, tight-knit relationships. And when you are on a serving team on a Sunday, you build close-knit relationships that are like family. And it helps you bond. And then I just love how you ended, Alyssa. You said that serving and all the things that it brought, it gives me more peace than anything. Yes, my friends, there is authentic and life-changing joy that comes from serving. I'm not just saying all these things to motivate you to sign up in a couple weeks. Like, I promise. I know some of you guys are thinking that. That's not what I'm doing. I say this because I love this family. I love this family, and I want us all to experience the blessings, the joy of serving. And you know what I can't wait for? I can't wait for the collective joy our church will experience as we establish a culture of serving. I can't wait for the life-changing moments and all the more stories like Alyssa's that we'll be able to share with each other because of how we serve together. That's what I can't wait for, because serving brings us so much joy. You know, it's a joy to be part of this family together, isn't it, guys? It really is a joy. And I just want to remind you as we close out, if you want to join our church family and you want to get baptized to go all in, please come find me after service over here to the left and one of our elders. Let's become masters at asking that simple question. Where can I serve? And let us find joy together. You know, right now, Shay Cassidy is actually going to come on the stage, and she's going to talk about, man, as we serve, part of the joy we're going to have is knowing what kind of impact we're going to have together and how it makes a difference. So Shay's going to talk about how we can make a difference as we serve.